Previously on Keep It Simple.
On the one hand, in the Gospels, we have Jesus who was very free. You know, he was accused of being a glutton, a drunkard. We see him having parties with the tax collectors, being invited into their home, or having dinner with Zacchaeus, a known swindler or thief. You know, he did this to go after them and to bring them into the kingdom of God. Fast forward to Paul's letters to some of the churches, and Paul's attitude about sin and sinners is a little, I don't know if it's different, but maybe it's coming at it from a different perspective. Paul is talking to professing Christians. He's talking to churches with professing Christians in them who are known to be sinning.
And there's a few places where I think Paul gets pretty hardcore about this. But
people who are not going to see the kingdom of God.
Yeah, but he's talking specifically in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He says this in verse 11, "But now I'm writing you not to associate with anyone who bears the name brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler. Not even to eat with such a one."
Okay.
Depending on the translation sometimes.
So does Paul seem to be different from Jesus, or is Paul coming at a different angle?
Yeah.
Because we were discussing how even though Jesus was soft on sinners, he was very friendly with sinners. But
he wasn't soft on their sin.
He wasn't soft on their sin. No, he said, go and sin no more. And, you know, he was very, very adamant about, you know, you need to change, but I'm going to hang out with you. And
yeah.
I'm not afraid to touch you. He touched lepers. I mean, he did all kinds of stuff that was out of the box. You know, he actually put his hand on lepers to heal them. And, you know, you just didn't do that in the Jewish law.
Yeah.
But with Jesus, when he was with the supposedly religious people, who should have known how to act religiously and should have known how to be, he was harsh with them, with the Pharisees. If you read the Gospels, he was really harsh with the Pharisees when they were wrong. And,
yeah.
And he told it like it was, and he didn't pull punches, and he told them they were wrong, and you got this all wrong, you don't understand the scriptures, you're doing it wrong. Is that more like the Paul that we know in the epistles?
Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
And this reminds me of, here's an off subject, maybe this might be another podcast, but I want to ask your opinion on this. As I read some of the blogs and some of the comments that people from house churches and simple churches tend to make on the internet, and admittedly, these are people that are kind of from the more emergent side, but I read over and over the comments like, I can't accept the writings of Paul with the same authority as the writings of Jesus. So I'm going to go with Jesus. In other words,
yeah.
if in this case,
yeah.
We see Jesus is a friend of sinners. He's going to hang out with sinners. Paul, he's mean. He thinks you should just kick, you know, sinners
yeah.
out of your church. I'm going with Jesus. You know, is that should we be doing that, or should we be taking both, weighing Paul's writings as equal authority as what Jesus said because of his apostleship?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that you can take any of them standing alone, you know, and
right.
I think, we've talked about, I think the women issue has come up and these sorts of things, the things that Paul talks about. And,
yeah.
You know, how do we interpret Scripture? I think I've always believed that we let Scripture interpret Scripture.
Right.
And so
yeah.
And so that's Genesis to Revelation, you know? Yeah. Do we see an instance where in anywhere in Scripture where women are leading, where women are speaking, where women are doing these things? Okay. Well, then how...
Well, I wasn't speaking to that particular issue,
but in that case, and we've talked about this on podcasts previously, like, you know, I'm not silencing women's voices in simple church meetings. If a woman comes into my home and we're gathering and she has something to say, I'm fully comfortable with letting her say it. Why? Right. I mean, I could point to one of these letters that Paul wrote and say, man, I must not care about what Paul says. But if I'm going to make a rule about something, I need to look at the whole counsel of the Scripture. And so certainly I would take Jesus's treatment towards women with in some of the things he said and how he handled those situations into account. I would take the Old Testament into account, take what Paul says into account. And that's the challenge we have of in the church today. And I don't know, unless we're willing to make, I think we have to work through that as a community and wrestle with those scriptures together. I think the alternative is that we become like the Pharisees and now we've created the answer for every situation and every time and place and we're policing it.
Yeah.
And that if we know anything about Christ, we know that he had a lot of his harshest critics, as you said, were for those people who had created this system of rules to follow in order to be pleasing to God, and whom they didn't, the Pharisees themselves weren't even obeying, you know. And that's something that you see a lot of times that can happen in the church today too. Even though we would never think of ourselves as Pharisees, we create a bunch of rules that even the people they've created them aren't following themselves.
But as far as you see Jesus do one thing and then you see Paul do something over here, what do you have, like, say, I'm going to lean toward the Jesus side, or I'm going to ignore Paul, or I'm going to go towards the Paul side because I understand it better, or it's more cut and dried. Do you see what I'm talking about? Like, there are people that say, I don't even want to read Paul. He's too out there.
Yeah.
I want to focus on Jesus. I want to do what Jesus said.
Yeah.
I think I hear what you're saying as, now I'm gonna listen to both of them. I'm gonna get the full counsel of Scripture, and weigh my answer that way.
Yeah.
Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, and I think that I'm going to, if I'm gonna tell somebody, hey, you want to know about what Christianity is about, I'm not gonna say first book you ought to read is 2 Corinthians.
Definitely not.
I mean, so in that sense, I think there is a priority in my mind of if I want someone to understand what the gospel is about and what Christianity is about, I'm going to say, start in the gospels and learn about Jesus, learn about what he said, learn about what he taught. And so I think that there is, some sort of priority, I would say, in my mind, but it's not, I think it's a sense to get to know him and know who he is and know how I'm to live in this world today. I'm taking it all into account. I'm not going to say, well, hey, you want to follow God? Like, here, start in the book of Leviticus, which, interesting enough, that was about the time in reading the Bible that I became a Christian, was in the book of Leviticus.
Oh, wow. That's hardcore, man.
That's where I got and into my starting in the beginning. But anyways, you know, so I think there is this, you know, I think this issue, and the reason we've ended up here in this conversation is because this speaks to the issue of hermeneutics and how do we interpret God's word in our day. I wish it was as easy. You know, I here's what I think is, I do think that I used to believe that it was a high view of Scripture to just take a passage like what we read, or to take what Paul might say on women and say,
I believe
the Bible to be 100% true, and I do not compromise it. It says it, therefore women, you cannot talk from the start to the end, or whatever it might be.
How'd that work for you?
Well, here's the thing. What I've since, I think, realized is that it's actually not that. It's a high view of Scripture to take into account
everything.
Yes. It's not a low
the whole
view of
situation.
Scripture. It's not a low view of Scripture to say, well, gosh, this was a letter Paul was writing to the church in Corinth about a specific situation that was that he was dealing with. To say, to take that into account in our understanding is not a low view of Scripture, but it's a high view of Scripture.
Well, that brings up an interesting point. Bonnie, my wife Bonnie, just went to visit the Ark. I don't know if you've been there. I've never been there yet. It's just been open about a year, but you know, there's a full-size replica of the Ark just north of Lexington, and it was developed by the Answers in Genesis people, Ken Ham, and they built this Ark to show you what it might have been like for them to actually build an Ark, put animals in it, float for a year, you know, waiting for the waters to subside, and you know, what did they do? One of the principles, and they have it on a sign outside the museum, and it says something like, if you're not willing to believe the events in Genesis happened, then what else about the Bible are you willing to not believe? So that kind of enters into our argument. That kind of enters into the argument, like if you're willing to pick and choose what parts of Scripture you're going to embrace and believe and follow and totally ignore others, I mean, your faith is going to be incomplete. And unless you can understand and apply the whole Bible, you're not going to understand Jesus unless you understand Isaiah or Daniel. You know, you're not going to understand Jesus unless you understand the Passover and the Exodus. You're not going to understand Jesus unless you understand the temple completely.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but I guess I would I would temper that a bit with that. You know, in the last podcast I shared about how, you know, I first came to know Christ. I understood him pretty clearly in that moment. I understood.
And you didn't understand all that.
And I didn't understand all that.
Right.
And I think
you didn't have to.
And I think I stay there? No. If I'm loving God with all my heart and all my mind, soul, and strength, then I'm going to have a lifetime of getting to know him better
and
the mysteries that are surrounding him. And some things I've learned more, and then in some ways the mysteries have gotten even farther and deeper. And I'm okay with that. To me, the Christian life, the point of simple church is not for us to fill in our every single fact about God that we can know and to somehow obtain perfection in our understanding of him.
That's not what I'm getting.
And I know that's what you're saying. I'm taking it a little further than what you're saying. But what I am saying is that I think that we have to, this challenge that we're talking about, which started way back when with this issue of what Paul was saying, how do we make sense of what Paul's saying in light of what Jesus said, eating with sinners versus expelling sinners and not eating with them? How do we understand Paul in light of Christ, in light of the whole counsel of Scripture?
Right.
I think where if I could just swing it back around, this is the beauty of simple church. I really believe that we kind of sometimes can forget, like when we have these conversations, somebody could be listening to this and you could be thinking, man, why would I ever want to have a simple church meeting? Because what if these questions come up? Like, how are we, like, man, like that could get uncomfortable. Like people could believe different things. Like, how are we going to make sure everyone does believe the right things? How are we going to make sure that somebody doesn't say, well, I don't want to care what Paul says. I only care what Jesus says. What if that person's in our group? Then what do we do? Would we have to kick them out? And that could be very uncomfortable. Man, I think I'll just forget it. Well, the alternative is that we give the voice to one person. We go find the person who we know believes everything that we want, is going to say everything we want them to say about these matters and these things that can sometimes Christians, even people of faith, can disagree on. We go find who that person is, and we know they're going to say everything we want to hear every Sunday, and we decide to become a member of that church so that we don't have to deal with it. But being a Christian is, you have to put on, as they say, your big boy pants sometimes and deal with these things. And I actually believe, and I fully believe this, and this is one of the reasons why I do believe simple church is so important, is that if we're able to give grace to people and we're not able to have some sort of legalistic test that everyone has to check all the boxes off to where they think, believe, and act exactly like I do before I'll sit down with them. Mm-hmm. If we're willing to give grace and we're willing to all commit to believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is sufficient. His word is sufficient. Now let's find it out. Let's search this together. That it's actually in the search of the Holy Spirit in each of us, illuminating God's word, teaching. There'll be tension. There'll be difficulty. But these issues, we will be able to work them out. How do we change people's beliefs? How do we really, you know, this is something, if you have someone in your simple church that's behaving in a way or thinking in a way that you think is wrong, or they're in your church of any kind and they're doing things you think is wrong or things wrong. How does that person really change? You know, I think about this a lot. How do we really help them?
Do they change because of us or because of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. I think it's always, every time I've changed, every time there's been a shift in my behavior or my thinking, I mean, God has used other people.
Yeah.
But it's always been because I was convinced that God showed me the
right,
truth.
Right.
Now, he might have used the conversation I had with you. It was the word, reading the Bible. But there was a time in which something, and it might have been over a period of time, but looking back, I would say that God, he showed me the way. He showed me the truth. And if you're a Christian and you're listening, you know what I'm talking about. But you became convinced because God showed it to you. You know, I mean, and that doesn't mean he didn't use people in there, but it was, I don't think there's ever been anyone who set it out to change my mind or behavior, and they took it upon themselves to do that.
Mm-hmm, right.
And somehow that happened. I walked away and I thought, that person, man, like, I give that person credit. They changed my mind and behavior.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I mean, I think that sometimes, are we willing to have enough faith to believe that God can sort these things out? If we're willing to commit to that first thing, that he has the answers, Jesus has the answers, and we're going to look to him in his word for the truth. Like, are we really willing to believe that he is able to change people if they're willing to pursue that? And we can keep encouraging people to follow him, pursue him. You got questions, go to him for the answers. You want to know what I think? Here's what I think. But even before I tell you what I think, why don't you read it and you come tell me, and then let's talk about it so that you're not just, you know, I don't think we want people to be a part of our faith communities. Most people aren't going to be like, well, I decided to believe this because Gavin told me. That's what Christians do. I mean, people can do that and they may not say it that way, but that's why a lot of people, I think kids, and we all know the problem of people when they grow up, go to college, they abandon their faith.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it never became their own. They believe those things because someone else, maybe mom and dad or their youth pastor, told them that's what they should believe and that's what Christians believe. So they just said, okay. But when the rough, tough gets going, those things end up maybe realizing, I might have been living on someone else's word and faith, not my own.
You mentioned, how is it that Jesus hung out with sinners and Paul said, expel the sinners among you? What was the difference? And I think the difference is Jesus hung out with sinners in order to win them to be followers of him. Paul was telling us to don't associate with believers or people who say they're believers, who are committed to consistently engage in a heinous sin. And I think that list is, they're pretty serious sins. They're not like, oh, he's smoking cigarettes or he's lying.
So we've created a list now of heinous and non-heinous sins.
Well, I don't know. I'm just putting that adjective in there because that list is a pretty bad list.
I mean, you know.
But anyway, so, and that brings up another question is, if we're going to treat people like unbelievers, what does that look like? You know, how did Jesus treat unbelievers? He still hung out with them, right? He still tried to reach them. I mean, he wasn't. I mean, there was a difference.
There was, and I think that raises another question. I'll let me raise some more.
Okay.
Because in our day and age,
I see your question, and I raise it another.
Well, here's the thing. Here's another thing that when I read like Paul, even in that instruction we read earlier, how do we apply this to today, where literally every in this part of the world, every person is a so-called brother. I mean, in some regards, like, if you know what I mean, like a lot of people are
just as everyone is a so-called sinner, right?
Yeah. Well, like, but I guess what I'm saying is, if and I think we've clearly stated that, you know, we don't believe you and I, at least it seems from this discussion, we don't believe that Paul is saying that we are not to ever have dinner, we are not to eat with anyone. If someone says they're a Christian, they are clearly living in sin, do we have a dinner with them? I don't think that Paul is saying never. I don't think, based, I mean, he's saying that to the Corinthian church about this.
Are you ever going to have coffee with them? Are you ever going to, like, go to a restaurant with him. Is that what he's talking about? Or is he talking about don't share the fellowship of the Christian? Don't share the fellowship that you would have in a love feast with that person.
Well,
so does that mean communion? Does that mean church service?
See, I think what he's saying. Yeah, I think he's saying that this part. See, here's the challenge. Is where I'm getting at, is that to be a part of the church, to be a so-called believer in that day, it looked different than it did today. Mm-hmm. I mean, like there, I'm not an expert on these things, but I can imagine that to associate yourself with the church back then, it was a very distinct group of people. It was a very, like, you're not going to just be a cultural Christian.
Right.
Like,
you look totally different. Yeah.
You're going to be, so in our day and age, you have literally every, I mean, how many people have we met who have been so-called brothers that their story is that, well, it wasn't until I was 32 years old and I realized I never truly was a Christian. I never really was a believer. I was an outsider essentially for all my life, even though I wore that label of so-called brother. I mean, to wear the label of Christian today is a lot different than it would have been to wear that label back then. And I guess what I'm saying is that I think my general posture towards everyone is to treat them as an outsider until the evidence is far in their favor that they're not. I mean, and just regardless of what they say, because that, I mean, how many people do we know today and age that, and this will be people showing up at your house church meetings. Oh yeah. Are you a Christian? Oh, I'm a Christian. I've been Christian my whole life. I became a Christian. Well, what does that really mean? Like, we've made becoming a brother something that I think oftentimes it's not, and it's so easy. There's this easy believism has pervaded our culture
I guess my question there would be, if Paul says, you're in sin, brother, I'm treating you like an unbeliever, you're no longer in my fellowship, would he still hang out with him? Would he still go and have tea with him, or coffee, or would he still help him move with his pickup truck? Would he still, come over and help him do something? Or would he, would he just totally shun him? Would Paul have just said, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah.
You don't exist. You're dead to me. I don't think Paul was like that.
I don't know. And again, it's hard to know. But again, I think we got to remember, in this story, he's talking about a person that is sleeping with his mother and bragging about it. Yeah. I don't know that, and has been. He sent him a letter once. In the church, they weren't. Like, this is not somebody who is like, man, Paul, I'm really stuck in this spot where I can't get out from under this. Like, I know this is sin. I know, like, I'm really struggling. Like, I know what I want to do, but I can't seem to do it. Can you help me? Can you pray? I need this. I need this fellowship. I need this encouragement. And I'm good. Please bear with me. I'm going to get there. Like, I don't want this. I know God is leading me out of this. I want to get out of it, but I feel trapped. Yeah. Like, that's a different situation.
So we keep asking these questions, like, it's either all or nothing, or it's in or out, or it's, 100% or 0%,
Yeah.
And it may be more nuanced than that, like you're saying, It's
well, and I think we let love, and we give people great, in all of these things. Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we all have sort of a bit like, I don't want to compromise I don't want to ever take sin softly.
Right.
I don't, at the same time, like, I don't want to err on the side of being a Pharisee either.
Right.
So how do we work that out? I suppose we're all going to come through there differently. And I think in our simple church, like, we be patient, we bear with each other, we give love, we don't compromise, we share the truth and love with people. And that's going to look differently for some than others. But I like to believe, and maybe this is a fault of mine, and I'm fully willing to accept that it might be, but if someone shows up at my house church meeting or your house church meeting, and they're there, and they keep coming back, and we're making no bones about the fact that we're talking about Jesus, we believe he's the way, the truth, the life, his word is our guide, and they keep showing up, then regardless of what they believe at that moment, or what kind of behavior they may be participating in, right. It seems. I'm willing to believe that the Lord is doing something, that he has brought them here because he is about to change the situation. He is moving them towards him, and it's a matter of time. And I would rather be more guilty of giving more time to that person than expelling them. And yeah, because the time wasn't, you know, or yeah, my patience running out, you know, or not tolerating their sin, like whatever. You know, I believe that it takes faith to say that, to say, this person's, they're being teachable, they're being faithful. There's clearly some boogers hanging out of their nose, but God's going to wipe them away. He's going to take them out. That's my expression, man. I like that. You know, you got a booger hanging out in your nose. It can be awkward to kind of
I'm go, not eating with you, hey, if you've got boogers hanging out your nose.
So, but we all do, that's, you know, gross. And so, yeah, well, I tell you what, Tom, you know what, you have got quite the task on your hands of editing this crazy discussion and making this into something that's worth listening to. But why don't we wrap it up like this? If you're out there and you've got thoughts on this topic, I think it's highly relevant to Simple Church being faithful to the scriptures and being in a simple church. You know, these questions are the ones we usually just let our quote-unquote pastors sort out, and we just follow in line. But in Simple Church, man, this is the big boy britches kind of stuff you got to deal with on your own and work through. And so I really do believe that in all things, that it's the journey, it's working through these issues that is probably what God's mostly concerned about. As we seek him, we depend on him, we dig deeper into his word, we pray more, we look for those answers, search harder. Like, it's in that process that God's mostly concerned about. And so, you know, it'd be easier just to let someone else decide all these things for us and just believe what they believe and check our brain at the door and not deal with it. But I really do believe this is the kind of stuff that as you work through in your simple church and you work through these issues, how do we love people? How do we deal with sin? What does it mean to not tolerate sin? And what sins are we going to not tolerate? Are we going to, how's that going to flesh out? I mean, these are things that, that God will richly bless you if you do the legwork of working through. So, yeah.
And it's going to come up at some point. Guarantee
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So,
thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.